Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Whatever I've been through, the moment I see you,
things are looking on. Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on X at Hashtag Kangas, Instagram Hashtag Kangas, Kangaroos podcast, TikTok Hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight I'll welcome back Siobhan Rowe, my Thursday regular. Although she wasn't on last week, she served her 1 week suspension. It was 2 weeks originally, but came back down to one with an early plea. So it was good to have her back on. We talked a lot about last week's game. There's a lot of positives, things we need that would help us probably be even more competitive. We talked about team changes, a little bit controversial there with a couple of players, Jaden Stevenson ahead of Eddie Ford. There was a lot of uproar on social media about that. Anyways, let's not waste any more of your valuable time. Let's bring on Siobhan to talk about it.
All right, welcome back tonight to Siobhan. Now, Siobhan, you weren't with us last week. You served a 1 week suspension, so welcome back tonight. We'll go back to last week anyway. Now, there's a lot of talk about our performance against St Kilda last week. I thought it was a little step forward, even though we lost by 38 points. But the margin did reflect the overall game, did it, Siobhan? I thought it was okay.
Hi, Dean. Always good to be back. And yes, maybe I need to have a 1 week suspension more often, because the performance against St Kilda was certainly one of our best for the year. And I know we still did lose by 6 goals, but it was a better showing. I usually sit on level one at Marvel. I sat at level three. So I watched the game from what felt like a very different perspective. And I sort of watched our structure and system from a little bit higher up. So obviously we don't see what the players see up on level three, but it was an interesting way of watching the game. I think it's pretty clear that our forward line is extremely dysfunctional at the moment. And you spoke to the boys about that on Tuesday and made some great comments around how we can potentially improve that area of the ground. But other than, I guess, the real dysfunction of that part of the ground, it was an all-round good effort. I think all we can really ask for at the moment, and why I think we've been disappointed the last few weeks, is just people showing up and giving all they've got. And I think no one showed more of that than George Wardlaw. He was phenomenal, and I think he made a lot of supporters really happy on the day as well. He's a player that you really can build a club around. I know that's a very bold statement, but a very true one. I think Jackson Archer's inclusion, although he only had the 4 touches, he gives absolute effort and shin bonus spirit every time he walks out on the ground. So it was nice to see him have a really great game. And it was just the performance of all the kids. I think Zerha found a bit of form. He looked really good out there. Conbin took another step forward. I thought Powell was really good, even though he didn't have high possessions. I think his impact on the game was great. You had Sheasel in the midfield for the first time. Hallelujah. That was a really great move. I think one people have been calling for a while. And I think even though he didn't have really high numbers of disposals, still had 24 touches, but it was just having his footy smarts and skills in a different way, so to try and set up play rather than from the back half from the midfield, so being that kick inside 50 as well. So it was really nice to see him play out of there. And it'd be remiss of me not to mention Colby McKercher again with 30 touches. And very unfortunate not to get the Rising Star nomination. I know that young lad from Melbourne has been excellent, and he's fully deserving of that Rising Star nomination. But McKerch has put together 2 really consistent and high quality weeks in a row in terms of possessions, and just showing us the skill he's got too. I mean, he's a great kick, likes taking the game on. He's got really good speed, and I thought he showed that again. So that was also a big positive. And Big X in the ruck continues to take steps forward. I still think it's weird how often he takes the ball out of the ruck and goes to kick it, or I think sometimes there probably needs to be a conversation around tapping the ball down to the midfielders, because I guess that's his primary job. But in saying that, obviously means that he's got good touch at the moment and feels confident enough to grab the ball out of there. But I think maybe a little bit less of that. I don't know if you agree with me, Dean, but he does seem to do it quite often. There were, like I said, there were some really positive signs. And although it's another L on the board, I thought overall it was quite a positive. And even the defence, I mean, Aiden Corr against King was probably the highlight for me. I was a little bit worried about King going into the game. First game back for him for a while with injury. And Corr was excellent, I thought. King only scored that goal from the free kick, and it looked like Aiden Corr evolved a little bit. So it was nice to see that. And again, Conman taking steps forward down there. And we'll talk about Toby Pink a little bit later, but could he become a bit of a swingman for us? And I thought he was quite solid when he came onto the ground too.
No, he definitely showed signs as a second target. Probably the best second target forward we've had all year, to be honest with you. And I know it's only small sample size, but he did look good. And he did a beautiful pass to Nick Larkey, who dropped it. We'll talk about his marking soon. But I guess my biggest problem here, Siobhan, and it's probably been a problem all year, we keep talking about it, but zero tackles inside 50. I mean, it's hurting our back line. The team defence starts from the forward half, and really we're getting no pressure up there, are we?
No. And like I hate coming on here and bashing players or not, you know, trying to remain a little bit positive when we've seen a fairly decent performance compared to what we've seen in recent weeks, but it's a major issue. And when you've got zero tackles inside 50 for the entire game, that's an absolute disaster waiting to happen in terms of you're not going to win many games when that's happening. I hate to single him out, but I mean, Jaden Stevenson as a small forward is just not working. He was lucky to end up with a touch before halftime. Otherwise, he would have gone statless. And at the end of the day, he is in the side to kick goals and to provide a bit of pressure. And he did none of that on the weekend. And we really are just lacking a genuine small. I mean, Paul Curtis has been excellent all year, and he does bob up for us and kick a few goals most weeks. You can always bank on him to kick two or three, which is an incredible asset. He's not necessarily, though, that high-pressure small forward that we're crying out for. Zerha, again, contributed with three goals, but not well-known and probably is that second marking target. So not exactly expecting him to provide the pressure of the likes of a Cody Waitman or a Tom Papley or a Charlie Cameron, which is their sort of bread and butter. But it is hard to watch because the ball just gets walked out and rebounded out of our forward 50 so easily. And again, Nick Larkey's not in the greatest form at the moment and is really struggling to make a big impact on the game. It doesn't help that our delivery inside 50 at times can still be really poor. But yeah, it's definitely not ideal at the moment because the flow-on effect that it has is quite significant. Puts pressure on your midfield, definitely puts pressure on the back line. And again and again, if the ball's just coming straight out of there, players just lose confidence and we don't score. At the end of the day, it's about who has the highest score on the board, and you're not doing yourselves any favours unless you're locking the ball inside 50. I mean, Richmond won a premiership based on small forward pressure. I mean, you could argue a lot of the sides in the last few years that have won a flag have had quality smalls or quality players that can lock the ball inside 50. Because if you continue to put pressure on the opposition back line, then eventually the damn wall's going to burst and you're going to score. But we're unable to do that. And that's probably a big reason why we're not winning games at the moment.
Yeah, and I don't think we have the personnel to probably change that, so which makes it even harder because we have a lot of forwards. You know, we've talked about Stevenson, Duersma, you know, probably even Paul Curtis to a lesser extent, that aren't great, and it doesn't come naturally to apply that forward 50 pressure. You know, we don't have a Tom Papley, you know, or even a Nick Watson coming through or anything like that that looks like a type of player that can apply that forward 50 pressure. Blake Drury tries, but he's still learning the caper, and he's someone we're going to persist with, I think, for the rest of the year because we don't have any other small forwards on the list. I don't think Robert Hanson's up to it, not from what I've seen in the reserves.
No, unfortunately not.
I think he looks well out of his depth. But, yeah, look, I mean, it might be just a case of we have to put up with it, and hopefully we can come up with a system that's a little bit better than what it is, because I think St Kilda had 15 tackles inside our full defensive 50, and we had zero for the game. And we're coming last on the ladder in that regard, six tackles a game inside 50. I think the next worst is West Coast at eight tackles per game inside 50. So it's something that, yeah, we certainly have to work on. Now, you mentioned a number of changes. Sheasel in the midfield. McCurcher has gone back into the back line last 2 weeks, and he's looked really, really good. Back-to-back 30-plus possessions. Now, fantastic effort. But Bailey Scott on the wing, we've been crying out for it all year, Siobhan, and finally it happened, and he looked okay.
He looked very good. I think a lot of our quality passages of play included Bailey Scott in them. I mean, he's athletic. He has great ability to run down the ground, and I think his ball use is okay at times too. So nice to see him involved in quite a few chains. And I just don't understand why he was stuck at halfback for so long. He is a pure wingman. I really think his skills and the assets that he can bring to the side are best utilised there, and that was shown on the weekend. I did see a stat, though, that was actually quite sad, and it involves Bailey Scott. And
yeah,
I guess it just shows how tough the times have been at the moment for our footy club, in the fact that he's won nine games from 85 outings as a North Melbourne player. So at 11% win record at the moment. So, I mean, you can understand if he was a little bit frustrated with the current situation at the moment, but every week he dips in. And I think what people forget, he's a player that's very underrated. He's actually been top three in the Sid Barker, and he provides a lot for us. So nice to see him back in his natural habitat on the wing. And Dylan Stevens didn't set the world on fire to start the year. And I think Darcy Tucker's not exactly going to be a bona fide star of a wingman, is he? So it was always going to be Bailey Scott's wing to take back, and I'm glad that happened on the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know about Darcy Tucker. I think you're a bit wrong there. I think, according to the players, he is a bona fide star. They talked him up in the preseason. I think even Clarko talked him up last week. What a fantastic job he did on Bradley Hill in the second half. But Bradley Hill in the second half, he had six possessions to his one in the third quarter and kicked a goal. So yeah, no, I don't want to go on a rant and lose my listeners to me ranting about Darcy Tucker, but I find that a bit bizarre what's going on there. I guess another player you mentioned was Tristan Sherry. Now, look, we both agree, and I think most people agree, he's had a fantastic year, competed really well with clearances, tackles and so forth. It was fantastic last week. But one area of the ground that's really hurting his game is the marking. Zero marks last week. Can't take a contested mark, to be honest with you. And that's probably the difference between him being a top five ruckman in the competition as opposed to probably now in the top 12, Siobhan.
It's a really great point, Dean. And I mean, I think, I know I put this in a way that's going to be very respectful. We as supporters, we're blessed. And I think we've been used to absolute A-grade service from Todd Goldstein. I mean, that man is a legend of the game in terms of his ability to ruck, like his ruck craft. So to go from Todd Goldstein to purely having Tristan Sherry, I think for us as supporters, it's been a bit of an adjustment, and certainly would have been for the players as well. I mean, do I think Tristan Sherry is going to be a star and a long-term ruckman for us? I still think the answer to that's no. He's had a really good year and he's been more than serviceable, but I think Tristan Sherry is a toiler. I think he's one of those rucks where he'll try his best, he'll service his midfield, but I just don't think that he's got the capability to play as an around the ground player at the moment anyway. Look, he started the year okay, did take a couple of marks inside 50 and around the ground, but we all kind of, oh my God, Tristan Sherry, when he does that, where I think it probably the way Ruckman is an interesting discussion, Dean, like the modern Ruck in terms of what we've had with Goldstein and the way that Gorn and Grundy and those have kind of transformed that role, you're blessed, and it's almost a bit of an expectation that the ruckman becomes a bit like a second midfielder in there. Like he follows up and he can tackle and he can win a clearance for his team. And I think Sherry's getting better at that, but I don't think he's ever going to become an A-grade ruckman. He's had a very, very good year. I don't disagree with that. But I think his ceiling isn't as high as we probably need in like a premiership ruckman.
No, probably not. But, yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I think Tom Boyd was a premiership ruckman. So it's probably one area of the ground where you don't need that elite superstar anyway to probably win games of football. I mean, looking in his stats, like 15.5 disposals per game this year, averaging 8.1 tackles per game, that's right up there. That's an elite level. Clearances, he's leading the team in clearances as well at 7.1. But just all that's lacking is the marks. It's 1.6 per game. If he gets that to 4 or 5, like 4 marks a game, geez, he's going to be, right up there with, the good ruckman in the competition, I should say. I mean, that's the only part of the game. What do you think of... like Charlie Comyn and Jackson Archer, I really like them. They're very tough players, but I also worry about their longevity. I mean, you see them, they crash packs really hard. I think Charlie Comyn has had, 24 or 27 broken bones in his body already. Jackson Archer seems to get injured a lot. Was 50-50 for this game coming up with an ankle injury. They sort of worry me a little bit in the way they play, Siobhan, that they're not far away from getting another long-term injury, both of them.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I think I love both of them. I think you can never question their effort. You can't question their attack on the ball, which is what you were talking about, and I guess their attack on the man at times as well. And they're both very... early on in their career and hopefully their career for North Melbourne long term. Obviously Charlie Comyn's very early on in his new role as a defender, and Archer, I think, has had a bit of bad luck as well as Charlie Comyn. I mean, he's had terrible luck. But I think you can't teach players to play the way that both of them do. That's why I think they're both long term really good prospects for us, is that they you can't teach a player to put their body on the line, and they do that week in, week out. And I think Comben's going to become a really important pillar for us in the back half. And I mean, I hope he stays down there, but there's also an opportunity to become that in the forward half as well. And we might touch on it a bit later, but the vision of Archer beating himself up as well, again, you can't teach that. The kid cares. He really wants to play well and perform. And numerous times as well, he ended up being mismatched on a bigger opponent, and he might have been outmarked, but again, did everything he could to spoil the ball and make sure that he at least competed, which is all we ask for as fans. And that's why I think both of them have bright futures ahead, because every week they give everything they've got. So, but I mean, it's a good point, because both of them have been... very unlucky when it comes to their injuries, and we just need consistent games out of them. And I mean, there's no reason why they won't be in the side. I don't think that they should lose their place at all. And it's just good luck, I guess, and looking after them when they need a rest, whatever it might be. But they're both budding stars of our football club, I think. And it'd be nice to see them both come through together in the back line.
No, definitely. I'm just looking, I'm comparing stats between Charlie Comyn and Ben McKay, and they're both very similar. Both averaging similar disposals, marks, intercepts. I think Ben McKay has 1.5 more intercepts than him throughout the course of the year. 1%ers are very similar. So very similar statistics when you consider that one's getting paid a fair amount of money and left the club, which is understandable, but it's not a bad decision to let him go when you've got someone like Charlie Comyn. And like you said, it's just about him staying healthy, I guess, at the end of the day. And even, Tristan Sherry, I mean, he's been 10 times better than Todd Goldstein, maybe just through opportunity to let him go. So I don't praise the list management too often, but I thought letting those two boys go has probably worked out okay in the end. Just one more thing I want to bring up with you. Now, I talked about this with Jesse the other day. Now, reserves players. Now, we had Toby Pink, who played as a forward, came on as a sub, as a forward. But then the following day in reserves played in the back line. I think that if you're going to play players in the reserves, like let's say, I don't know, like let's say Toby Pink, we'll use him as an example.
Yep.
If you see something as for him as a forward, does it make sense for you, all right, let's just play him as a forward the following day? It should be a development for the senior team, shouldn't it? I understand you want to win and be competitive and so forth, but don't you want to sort of get players to play in their positions in the reserves that they would in the seniors? Does that make sense to you?
It does, and it was a really interesting discussion, and I found myself talking to myself and nodding away at it because it's weird, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on it too, but I could understand why they decided to play Pink forward, because I think we were talking about how kind of dysfunctional it looks and Nick Larkin needs a partner in crime down there and Zerha did his best on the weekend. But we need to find a solution for that mid-season. There's just no choice. So I liked that. But then again, he goes to the back line. Wouldn't you want to maybe give him some continuation to doing that? And there are quite a few players that I just feel have been jibbed a little bit. And I think, again, we always talk about the structure of the list and the balance of the list and how off that is at the moment and how it's going to take a few years to start getting that part of things right for us. But if you look at someone like Charlie Lazaro, I mean, in the AFL, I think he struggled to get consistency there because he's being played at half forward or wherever it might be. And then he'll go back to the VFL and play midfield minutes and look really good. And then he'll get put in the AFL side and then he's back at half forward. So consistency is king in AFL, I think. And playing players in the position that they're most strong at or will give the most benefit to the side is a huge thing. And it baffles me. It's weird. It happened a lot with Tom Powell as well because, again, he's a purebred mid, and we know that now. There's enough evidence on the board to say Tom Powell is a purebred mid. But then, you'll see him at half forward sometimes and he'll play the whole game there and he won't play well and he'll get dropped and you're like, well, you're not giving the kid an opportunity or a chance. We've seen it with Simpkin. We've seen it with a lot of players, but it's more the young up-and-coming players that are trying to establish themselves in the side that I feel the most sorry for when that sort of stuff happens. They'll be played in the right position in the VFL. They'll look really good. They'll come in and they'll be played out of position again. So I know this is a time for us to experiment and see where players can fit. Maybe like you say, to maybe put a square peg in a round hole for trying to see where they can go. It is an experimental phase for our list at the moment. Who's going to be part of the next premiership side, as Quacko always says. But in saying that, I just think it's no-brainer to play players in their preferred position. I mean, we haven't seen Braden George yet, and I know that he's been injured. But he's another player where it makes no sense to me to play him in the back line. He was drafted on, and his talent is in the forward half. So there have been some weird choices. But Pink playing forward and then playing in the back line again in the VFL was a bit odd to me, unless they did it just as a bit of an experiment. But it wasn't much time of an experiment, was it? And it didn't allow him to really maybe show what he could do down there either. So, and playing him as the sub as well, I thought was a little bit odd. It's rare you see a key position player as the substitute, that's for sure.
We seem to make very odd decisions with subs. Ever since the sub has come in, we seem to do very strange ones. We seem to put like ruckman or you know, key defenders or key forwards as subs. We've always done that. We never seem to choose someone that's got a little bit of speed that can come on and make an impact, especially when the game gets a bit on and players are getting a bit tired. You want a bit of a small player with a bit of speed to run a bit, but we've never seen him do that for some silly reason. But yeah, even Jaden Stevenson was playing pretty much full forward in the reserves. Then comes in the seniors, it plays a high half forward, then goes up to a wing. So yeah, I'd just like to see a bit more consistency. Like Lazaro getting dropped, I would have liked to see where he's going to play. We want to see him as a half forward in the seniors. Well, maybe play him as a half forward in the reserves and see how he goes and let him develop his game there, because we've got a lot of midfielders at the moment. And Harry Sheasel has just complicated that a little bit more and built a bit more of a logjam. So, yeah, that's my rant over about that. Anyways, we'll move forward to this week. Team changes. Now, are you happy with the team changes? We've gone very small. A little bit controversial, I suppose, but how do you see it?
Yeah, look, off air, as soon as I logged on to have a chat with you, I said, what the hell, why have we dropped Toby Pink? Because I thought when he actually came on, he looked good. I mean, maybe the precision pass to Larky is just going through my head a little bit because we haven't seen it for so long. Then I guess I twigged and realised that we are playing with a cake of soap up in Darwin. Yeah. So it does make a bit of sense to go for a smaller side. I mean, the Gold Coast are going to be a big challenge outside of our round, final round win against them in Tasmania. We've really struggled against them. And I think they're a real young up-and-coming side in the competition. So I get why we've gone small. It's obviously disappointing about Jive Simpkin, and hopefully he's not out for too long. He did cop a little bit of criticism again for his performance on the weekend, but I did think he was quite good. I mean, I thought both captains were okay on the weekend and they needed to be, but Jive seemed to put his head over the pill a bit more and looked at, not like himself, but taking steps in that right direction. So hopefully he's not out for too long. And quite interesting that we've omitted Zane Dersma for this game. That I wasn't necessarily surprised with. I just think he hasn't been setting the world on fire. And I think going back to the VFL might actually be a real positive for his career going forward. Look, I know that we want to be playing the kids, but playing in the position that he's playing at the moment in our side is a really tough ask. Thinking it's getting some confidence back, getting a bit of touch again might be a really positive thing for him. And also in the conditions up on the Gold Coast, it's going to be tiring. It's going to be hot. It's going to be slippery. They might not suit him. And why not bring him back against his brother, against the Bombers when we play them the following week? So hopefully it's just 1 week out and you can get a bit of touch back. That should be a real positive for him going forward. I don't know what to make of the changes because I was surprised to see Stevenson's name still there, Dean. I was very surprised. And I was very surprised to see Eddie Ford's name in the emergencies. We look a better side when Eddie Ford plays. And like Curtis, you can almost mark him down for 1-2 goals. Continuous effort, always flying for his marks. He doesn't bring it down. He'll certainly be competing. I don't know if you can say the same about Jaden Stevenson. So that was a really interesting one. Not quite sure whether or not there'll be a late change. I'm not sure, but that's what we've gone with, and that's how what we'll just have to take. But good to see Lazaro get another opportunity, and same with Will Phillips. I think the conditions will suit him this week. It will be a quite a contested game, I think, and quite a game of endurance as well, considering the way that the game's usually played up in Darwin. So I think it'll be a game that'll definitely suit his quick hands and ability to get in and under in the contest. So same with Greenwood. I think Greenwood will probably play. Do you think he'll play half forward, Dean?
Oh, I think so. I think we've got enough midfielders as it is, and maybe just as that second forward. That's just a long down the line option, and they can lock in the ball inside 50. Someone that could lay a tackle inside forward 50 as well, that would be handy, because if he lays one tackle inside forward 50, then that's more than the whole team got last week, Siobhan. So that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think he'll probably play that role as well. And another hardened, seasoned body that can be a bit of a leader out on the ground and lay a few tackles, hopefully kick a few snags, and against his old side as well. I think it's a really good selection. What do you make of Shields keeping his spot in the side?
Yeah, I think Jesse even mentioned it the other day. I think he's there for his leadership more than anything. And we need a bit of experience in that team. And we did look better last week. I don't know, maybe he played a little part in that, just leading the players out on the ground. So I don't mind it. Yeah, I mean, with Stevenson, he did play some good footy in the wet at Collingwood, pretty much in his first year. He had a few good games. So that might be the reason why they've picked him this week, just on balance. Maybe they think, oh, well, he's he can do okay in the wet weather. So that's the only reason I could think he could play. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been playing, based on last week's form. I guess my question to you is, Nathan Buckley singled him out last week about standards and him getting picked. That's setting a poor standard. What do you think about that? Because, I mean, his form in the reserves wasn't great. I was a bit surprised he actually got picked last week, to be honest with you. But, yeah, I mean, is that a bit harsh? I mean, there's a history between Nathan Buckley and Jaden Stevenson. I thought it was a little bit harsh on singling, if he's singling out one player and singling out him.
I thought the discussion around Jackson Archer and the situation that unfolded there was a really, I don't know, it struck a chord with me. And it actually, not disturbed me, but I just thought it said a lot without showing a lot. I didn't like it because Jackson Archer, I think, like I mentioned earlier, will be a successful player at our footy club because he cares, because he bleeds for the jumper. And I think at that moment, he just needed someone, a player, a coach, an official to say, like, look, yeah, okay, made a blue, but get back out there and just keep doing what you're doing. We're really happy with your effort and the way you're going about your game. It's one moment. Let's move on. And I think to let him sit there and wallow a little bit, I didn't like. I think teams get around each other and they lift one another up and they're all on the same page. And that's what success looks like to me anyway. And we didn't have that. And I think Clarkson's mentioned a couple of times, he mentioned it in the Q&A the other week, that the big thing that he and Viney wanted to implement was a change in culture and environment at the footy club. And maybe we're still implementing that, because if you have a good culture and environment, I think someone gets around him and says, you know, shit happens, we'll move on. Yeah. I know there are probably thousands of moments in the game that would have happened and the cameras didn't catch that. So I'm not saying it's an ingrained sort of incestual problem at the footy club, but just that little bit of vision said a lot to me, and it was a little bit disappointing. But I thought Buckley to mention Stevenson in that when it really didn't have anything to do with him was a little bit odd, and I'd probably take his comment with a grain of salt knowing their past history. But in saying that, I mean, it was a valid point because I don't think Jaden Stevenson bleeds for the jumper or cares for the jumper as much as a Jackson Archer, and that's probably showed in his performance and the standards that we maybe accept from him. And, I mean, he's got talent and he's got ability. Why it's not coming out on the field at the moment is a mystery, and one that I guess the professionals will have to kind of figure out. But you mentioned, and I probably agree with it, is that he's a confidence player. And at the moment, his confidence is shot. He's very low on confidence. He went back to the VFL and, again, didn't set the world on fire there. So I think it's almost a little bit unfair on him to bring him back into the seniors when he didn't even find the form or the confidence or the ability that I know he has in the VFL. So hopefully this week might suit him again, playing in that scrubby conditions, bar of soap sort of footy up there. But he's walking on thin ice a little bit. Do you read too much into the comments, Dean?
No, not really. I don't know if you remember his interview when he first came to the club, and he said he rang up Nathan Buckley at the time to sort of find out what was going on, because he heard rumours that he was going to get traded. And yeah, Nathan Buckley and him had a disagreement apparently over the phone. Jaden Stevenson didn't agree with what Nathan Buckley said. And at the end of the conversation, Nathan Buckley said, well, I think it's best you find your opportunities elsewhere. So I think there's a bit of history there, and that's why he named Jaden Stevenson. So look, I mean, he's 25 years old now, Siobhan. His football's probably at the crossroads. He's still got another year left in his contract. But I just think there's too many players in front of him. There's too much of a logjam in that forward line. Zerha, Paul Curtis, Eddie Ford, you mentioned, can't get a game. Zane Bersman's been dropped. A number of others, Blake Drury. I'm sure that Harry Sheaves was probably going to go through there now a little bit more as well. I think there's just a logjam, and he's going to get squeezed out. And I don't think his future's at the football club, to be honest with you, Siobhan.
There needs to be a dramatic turnaround, but I don't think he's got that dramatic turnaround in him. As silly as it sounds, that's probably the position on the ground, like you mentioned, that we do have quite a few players of that ilk that can play through there, and he's just not giving us a lot at the moment. And his point of difference, I think, you could almost count on him last year, even at the, especially the start of the year, to kick one or two goals or to bob up in that right moment. And the problem with Steve-O is that we've tried him in nearly all the positions on the ground. There was that crazy period where he played in the back line. I mean, I still don't know how that happened. Then we had him on the wing, and his natural position is as a forward. But if he's not contributing as a forward, what more can you do? You can play him in the VFL and then you can put him back into the AFL. But unless there's an output, and at the end of the day, footy's a business. And if I was not performing in my job, I'd probably lose my job. And at the moment, he's just not performing in his job, and he'll get more chances and more opportunity, but he's just walking on thin ice a little bit at the moment, because I don't think, and I could be wrong in saying this, that at the end of the game, he could say, I gave everything I had today and I just couldn't get it done, coach. I don't think he's able to say that at the moment. And I think that's what Buckley was referring to and insinuating on the couch on Monday night.
Yeah, no. Look, I like Nathan Buckley and I value his opinion, but I thought that was just probably a little bit a cheap shot that didn't need to go that down that path. Anyways, we'll move forward. Aiden Corr, you think he plays on Ben King? He seemed to, do pretty well against his brother last week. It's probably a good time to keep the momentum going and beat another King this week.
Yep, I reckon they just get the cardboard cut out and say it's the same guy, exactly what you did against the same opponent. Don't change anything. Dean, it's an interesting discussion point, Aiden Corr, because I think the day Griffin Logue walks back out on the footy field in a Kangas jumper, we're all going to be grinning from ear to ear. I think he'll be a massive inclusion in the side. But with the addition of Comben down there, and I think Archer playing there, and Corr's not a number one key defender. Mm. I think he's made that very clear. I don't think he's a number two. I think he's more a number three, number four sort of key defender, and that's when he flourishes. I'm contradicting myself here because he played on King. He was probably the most dangerous forward on the day. But I just think when he's got other players around him, and we've introduced Comben and Archer down there, I think that's when he performs better. So it'd be interesting to see if he can back up his performance against King on King this Saturday night. Because his performance was really good, but I think it's because he had support and he didn't feel like he was doing everything on his own a little bit there.
He seems that he's a funny sort of player because, he was that third defender in Good Friday against Carlton and he didn't look good. Like I think it was Dawson and whoever else was playing on the two big forwards, Mackay and Kurnow, and he was like the third defender. But then when you put him, give him a job, like on a Charlie Cameron, last weekend against Max King, he's had his best two games playing on almost as the number one defender. It's been a bit strange because I don't think that role really suits him, but he seems to relish in it for some reason. So, I think they'll go with him this week on Ben King, and Charlie Cameron might go to Lukosius or either that Jeff Walter. One of those two. Look, it's going to be a slippery ball anyway, so I don't think it's going to be conducive to the big forwards. If Nick Larkey's dropping marks at the moment, I don't give him too much chance this week that he's going to take too many, Siobhan.
No, I think it's going to be and I think that's why, to be honest, not that I give us a chance to win, because that's just being a bit deluded maybe, but I do think that it won't be a complete blowout, because it's going to be one of those games where you'll just have to get the ball forward. I think that's just what the conditions lend themselves to be. And I don't think it'll be a game for big forwards. So that's why I think Cole will probably do well on King, and why the likes of Jed Walter and some of the other tools I have down there might not perform to their optimum, which is a benefit for us, considering that big forwards usually get a hold of us, especially for where we're at the moment. So, look, Larky's not in great form. And I don't think this week's a week to turn it around. He's just going to need some help from the likes of Curtis and hopefully Ford if he finds a way in the side, and Zerha and those guys to kind of help him out a bit. If he can just have the contest, get the ball to ground, then I think some of our smalls can possibly work with him a little bit, but it certainly won't be Nick Larky's week. It won't be a repeat of the 9 goals that he pulled out when he played against the Gold Coast last year.
Do you think we're a chance to be, like, I know you said we can't win, but do you think we're a chance to be competitive this week as well, similar last week, and maybe, have a closer result than last week?
Yeah, look, I've had a bit of thinking, my thinking cap on about this, because we're a young side. The Gold Coast are as well, and I'm not trying to make excuses here, but when you're playing in, like, very humid conditions, I think we'll probably be really competitive to start the game. But I don't know whether – I think in the preseason it was all about fitness and playing out 4 quarters, but I still think that we're not a very fit side. I don't know if you agree with me, Dean, but to me we still look a little bit gassed by the time the last quarter comes around, and on the weekend we played out the game really, really well. I think that's what impressed fans the most, was that we never gave up. And even though St Kilda were clearly going to win the game, we still found ways to score and show signs, not drop our heads. But it's a tough ask when you're playing in the conditions that Darwin is going to bring. So I think we'll be competitive again. But I don't know about running out the game, considering how I think it's going to get played. I think it's going to be bash and crash footy. It's going to be very contested. Gold Coast also have a freakish ability to kind of run the ball, and their ball movement can be really impressive at times. And long-winded answer, but I think, yes, we'll be competitive, but I don't think we'll be able to run out the game just as well as the Gold Coast, who are used to playing up there, and might just be a little bit too classy for us. But what gives me promise is that I don't think the tools are going to be a really big factor in the game. And a lot of the times this year we've fallen down because the tools have got a hold of us. And I think that the really alarming stat from the weekend that I think fails to get mentioned a lot is that St Kilda took nearly double the amount of marks to us. So we got absolutely murdered in the air. Now, in a game on the weekend when I don't think it's going to be as much a factor, maybe that's why we'll remain more competitive too. Because at the moment, against a lot of sides, we just can't compete with them in the air because we don't have the arsenal to do it. So hopefully the conditions lend themselves to that stat being turned around a little bit for us.
Yeah, and I think we're a young team, so they're probably leads. We don't have as many pre-seasons under the belt as a lot of other teams as far as players go. Like, you know, Wardlaw's only had 2 pre-seasons. I think the first one was interrupted. A number of others too. Harry Shees was only in his 2nd pre-season, but he's ultra fit. He's a very fit young man.
Very professional.
Yeah, look, he had the highest pressure rating in the competition last week. Just shows, you know, how hard that guy runs. So he's going to be a very special player. He already is, but, I mean, you talked about him last week having 24 possessions. That's a season low for him. So that's saying something right there. Had 9 turnovers, so he butchered the ball a little bit, trying to be a bit too cute going inside 50, but he will learn. He's a very quick learner. So, yeah, I mean, you talked about it's going to be a contested game, and I think that's a big reason with the changes of Greenwood and Phillips, because, yeah, I mean, if we're going to make it a contested game, and you've got Liam Shields as big, you know, who's a tough body as well, I think we've gone in with the mindset that there's going to be a lot of stoppages. We're going to have the big bodies in the midfield like Wardlaw, Greenwood, Phillips, and so forth. And hopefully we can just – it's about territory at the end of the day, and just get the ball forward. And hopefully we can just lock it in inside our forward 50, Siobhan, for a period of time. And if we could play a forward half game, then you're always a chance, aren't you?
That's the big challenge, Dean. And I think that's why we're going to struggle going forward until we can address that problem. Because the way footy's played at the moment, like I mentioned earlier on the pod, I think it's a huge part of the game. If you can't lock your ball inside your forward 50, or you can't force repeat stoppage, which we're just not able to do at the moment, then you're more than likely going to lose the game. So, yeah, there's a lot of learning to do, and I think there's a lot of personnel changes that are going to have to happen that can't happen overnight for us to be able to do that. But with Greenwood in the side, and hopefully some of the others can maybe step up a little bit, I'm hopeful that there will be more than zero in tackles inside 50, and we can try and force a few repeat sort of entries in there for us.
Well, they've got some good intercept players in that back half, but with the conditions the way they are, we're certainly hoping the ball can hit the ground. But our last win was against Gold Coast last year, so we've got the win over them.
Oh, let's just hope for a repeat of that. Let's hope and pray. Because that was a really good feeling, wasn't it? I mean, I know a lot of people are still poo-pooing the win and, look what it cost us. But at the end of the day, I mean, been plastered on the social media. Last time we met the Gold Coast, we won the game. And that's obviously a really exciting thing. And it's a rare win for us over the Gold Coast. I mean, the record's frightening. I mean, when they were at the lowest ebb, when they were just coming through the competition, we couldn't beat them. So I'll always take a rare win.
No, that's right. Yeah, it was a bit of a shock to the system that last round last year. Yeah, and there's obviously a lot of talk about Harley Reid and North losing out on him. But, it's like talking about your ex-wife, you know, like you can what's the point now? Like it's over with. You've got to move forward. You married someone new. So, yeah, that's just how it is. So what's your final prediction for the game, Siobhan?
Look, I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair, and maybe I'm making out the conditions to be worse than they are. I mean, I don't know how the game's going to play out, but clearly we've gone small and we've gone contested, and hopefully that's the way the game's played, because I think that's probably the way that we can remain competitive and even a chance to win the game. I do still think the Gold Coast will probably win. I think they're just a little bit too classy and experienced and familiar with the conditions. There's quite a few reasons why I do think that they'll probably get on top of us in the end. But I'd say probably remaining optimistic about 3 to 4 goals that they'll win by. And I think we'll be really competitive until the end. But I think just a little bit too good. Also, there's one player, they brought back Alex Sexton, and I looked at the record again. There's certain players for the Gold Coast, I don't understand. They don't play for the whole year, and then they play against us and they kick 10. So, fingers crossed we can put a stamp on some of their players. But I think they've probably got a little bit too much class and experience across the park.
Yeah, I forgot that you got picked. they got a number of changes. Because he kicked 6 on us that last round the year before. And it got him another contract, and he played last year too. But he's just one of those Sam Kerridge players that did nothing throughout their careers except kick goals against us, Siobhan.
Yes, and don't ever let me forget Ryan Nailhouse. I mean, no one's ever heard of him again, but he was written in our folklore, unfortunately.
Yeah, Ian Perry from Adelaide Crows back in the 2000s. Couldn't kick a ball more than 30 metres, but he always kicked 6 goals against us. We had some – I should do a whole podcast about players that had no career but decided to play well against us. Almost one-hit wonders like Billy Ray Cyrus. I could name it that, but, it is what it is. Anyway, Siobhan, did you want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, I think that's all, Dean. I mean, it'll be a tough challenge. They've got quite a few really good players. I mean, they're midfield with Anderson and Raoul, and they've just got a lot of quality across the ground. But I think where the Gold Coast are headed is the trajectory maybe where we're following as well. They've got a lot of really quality young players that are coming through together, and I think it's a matter of time before they're a force, and hopefully we're the same, that our quality youth will come through together and form a side that's quite formidable in the years to come. So keep supporting, keep watching, go Roos, and thanks for having me on again, Dean.
No, no problems at all. I did notice they've made a lot of changes. So yeah, they've dropped a lot of players. So yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, we can put in a good performance against them. I mean, they haven't been flying. They've had a couple of shocking performances this year, so they're probably going below expectations, to be honest with you, Siobhan. So you never know. Anyways. Yep, thanks so much for coming on this Thursday night, Siobhan, to preview the game. I really appreciate it. I'm hoping to have you back next week and we could talk about a win.
Fingers crossed, Dean. Fingers crossed.
I've been saying that to you for about 2 years. So, yeah, it's going to come true sometime.
And I'll be the first one on. I think I'll be letting off fireworks when that day happens.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Yeah, thanks so much for coming on, Siobhan. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dean.
So thank you very much to Siobhan for coming on once again. And thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. It is a much appreciated. And thank you for telling all your friends as well. That's probably the best way to get the show out. Anyways, that's it for me tonight. I'll probably be back on Sunday evening again. We've got a Saturday game, so that's good. I'll be back Sunday evening to get the boys back on, get the thoughts on the game. Hopefully it's a win. Can't be too confident with the year we've had and probably the last 4 years, to be honest with you. So we'll see how we go. You never know. I'm certainly hoping we can put in a good effort and continue on our performance from last week as well. Anyways, that's it for me tonight. Bye for now and go Roos.